Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show, a podcast covering all things minor league baseball. Get a front row seat to the action with everything you need to know about the future stars of Major League Baseball. And now, here's your host, Chris Clegg.
Welcome in to another edition of the Dynasty Dugout Show. My name is Chris Clegg. I'm the host of the Dynasty Dugout Show and the founder of thedynastydugout.com. Today, we're going to break down outfield prospects. This will probably be a two-parter, much like the shortstop episode, just given how deep the outfield is, how much talent there is in the minors with outfielders. But we're going to talk at least probably the top 10 outfielders in the minors, if not more. But as always, this episode is sponsored by Connect Roasters, Ian Happ's Coffee Company. I have my coffee right here. I've got the Gold Glove blend. It is smooth as can be. I cold brew my Gold Glove blend, pour it over a little bit of syrup, and then put some cold foam on top of it, all made right here at home. You can get the Gold Glove blend, buy one, get one half off, by using the link in the description or going to the connectroasters.com, putting two Gold Glove blends in your cart, and using the code DynastyDugout. I promise you, you won't regret it. This coffee is good. Get the coffee that Ian Happ makes. Let's dive into our episode. Outfield prospects, part one. Who are the best outfield prospects in the minors? There's a loaded group, starting at the top with Roman Anthony, who is probably now the consensus top prospect in baseball. I've long seen Roman Anthony, dating back to his first year in pro ball, saw him out of the gate with Salem pretty early, where his numbers weren't great, and the underlying was really good. And then he moved to Greenville, where I am located. So I got a lot of Roman Anthony in high A and continue to see him beyond that. Anthony is a stud. I mean, his 2023 season was very impressive. His 2024 season was even better. Between AA and AAA, he had 119 games, and he slashed .291, .396, .498 with 18 homers and 54 extra base hits. The combo of contact, plate discipline, power, speed, defense, it all makes Anthony one of the top prospects in baseball. His approach is solid. You know, it's a very sound approach with Roman Anthony. He starts with his hands kind of high, stance slightly open. He uses a leg kick to create a pretty wide base at the plate, but he gets good hand-to-hip separation. He leads with his lower half, and he creates really good bat lag and bat speed. Anthony added bat speed coming into 2024. The Red Sox put a heavy emphasis on bat speed training, and that was exactly what he did. And we saw the power really pop. His ninth percentile exit velocity was up near north of 108 miles an hour. That's pretty high end by major league standards. And we were talking a 20-year-old Roman Anthony. That's pretty impressive. The biggest issue, ground balls. He put 48% of his ground balls or his batted balls on the ground, which led to lower home run total than you might expect. But he topped out north of 116 miles an hour, which is absurd. It's plus or better power. You hope the game power gets to plus, just given the amount of loft that he needs to get to. We'll see if he makes those tweaks. Plate discipline's impressive. He had 21% chase rate last year. Contact skills were right there with it. 75% overall, 83% end zone. That absolutely plays. He's an above average runner clockwise, and he stole 21 bases on 28 attempts. He's likely to slow down with age, just given his frame. He's listed 6'2", 200. He's already filled out a little bit. He could fill out more. I think the only hole to poke in Anthony's game would be ground balls. You know, but considering how hard he hits the ball, he's actually able to run higher BABIPs, hitting some hard balls on the ground and on the line. I think there's 30 home run power to unlock. The glove's good. Anthony could play center field. It's something that I've said since I saw him early in 2023. Like, he played a really good center field. He has range. He gets good jumps. The only weakness is his arm, and his arm is probably average. So really good traits all around. Anthony probably doesn't play center field in the majors, but put him in right. That's a pretty spacious right field in Fenway Park, and I think Anthony's going to play very, very well. Next two guys I want to talk about have debuted. It's Jason Dominguez with the Yankees and Dylan Cruz with the Nationals. You know, Dominguez is probably the most hyped player that we've seen in a long time. When he signed with the Yankees, he was deemed the Martian, the nickname, and he was comped to a combo of Mike Trout, Bo Jackson, and Mickey Mantle all in one. This is why I don't do player comps, guys, because it's impossible to live up to those hypes. You just cannot do it. I think he's fared pretty well, all things considered. Dominguez's body has changed pretty substantially over the last couple of years. Kind of interesting to see. Like, he was small. He looked like Aaron Donald at some point. Like, he was packing on some weight. And now he's kind of settled into his frame. He's shorter. He's 5'9". He's listed at 190. But he still runs exceptionally well. Dominguez debuted in 2023. He put up off-the-chart numbers in the majors. I think he homered 4 times in 33 plate appearances or something crazy like that. And he ultimately tore his UCL in this season, started his 2024 late. Dominguez did deal with multiple injuries in 2024 also. That's worth noting because you look and he just wasn't on the field all that often. People wonder why he didn't get the reps in the majors. They were clamoring for him for a long time. They clamored for him in the postseason run. They clamored for him in the postseason. And the Yankees opted for Alex Verdugo over him. Some people will tell you that that tells you everything you need to know about Chaisson. I don't think that's true. I think it's unfair to throw a 21-year-old kid in this lineup in the midst of a World Series run. I think that's unfair. And I think that's why the Yankees didn't do it. One, the glove. You talked to a lot of people, the glove is not ready. It's a big part. I mean, is Alex Verdugo great in the outfield? I mean, he made some kind of bonehead plays, if I remember right, in the World Series. And I don't look at his defensive metrics. Like, I don't think Verdugo's, like, overall in the regular season, he was good. Like, he provides a lot with his arm value. But the range, you know, I think he was fine. Like, I probably misspoke early, but I just remember a couple plays in the outfield in the postseason where it was like, eh. Listen, Dominguez is not close to that. He has a lot to improve. The bat is good with Dominguez, though. We talked about some of Roman Anthony's underlying metrics. Jason's power numbers are right there with him. 108 mile an hour, 9th percentile. That's firmly plus, right there with Anthony. Contact rates have made a major leap. Last year was 78% overall, 89% end zone. That's really, really good. That will absolutely play. Those are good numbers. The chase rate is the difference. Like, the plate approach is a lot different from Anthony. Dominguez run a lot higher chase rate, but still solid. It'll play. The contact skills are actually better than you might expect with Jason. You look at Dominguez, he's still got some speed. He stole 21 bags last year between the majors and minors and was caught just once. I think he's going to run. I think that's going to be value. I think he could steal bases. I think he could hit home runs. You know, given how hard he hits the ball, he creates barrels. You know, people have pointed to the 62% ground ball rate in the majors, which, yeah, I get it. It's a little bit of a concern. But for his career, that number set closer to 45%. So it's still a solid number, giving Dominguez batted ball profile. He's slated to be the everyday left fielder, if I'm not mistaken, for the Yankees in 2025. They have Bellinger going to play center. He's got to be a favorite for AL Rookie of the Year. So with Dominguez, I mean, I think you temper expectations. It's going to be his first full season. Are there going to be some struggles? Yeah, absolutely. But I think Jason's going to have some stretches where he looks really, really good. I mean, what should you expect, though? I think you temper the expectations for 2025. If he gives you a 20 home run, 15 stolen base season, I'd say it's a success. If he hits north of 250, call it a win. Most people are way too high on prospects and what they expect for him out of the gate. But remember, there's a major adjustment period. The gap from AAA to the majors is larger than ever. Dominguez literally just turned 22 a couple days ago as I'm talking right now. So he's still very young. That's important to remember. Same with this guy, Dylan Cruz. And Cruz didn't put up the best numbers in his pro debut, at least on the surface. But Cruz has, funny enough, kind of been labeled as a disappointment compared to what his expectations were in the draft. He was second overall selection in 2023. There were some struggles in AA during his draft year. People were like kind of panicky. Oh my gosh, Cruz isn't going to live up to the hype. Listen, Dylan Cruz is going to have a very, very good major league career. If he's an above average regular his entire career with several all-stars, that's a huge win for the Nationals. Just go look at the history of drafts and look at the bust. Tell me Dylan Cruz is not already far ahead of where most are. I mean, he debuted shortly after a year after being drafted. That's pretty notable. He'll turn 23 just before the 2025 season begins. I mean, he's one of the most decorated college hitters in the last decade. No doubt about it. Very impressive career at LSU. He put up really good numbers in AA and AAA in 2024. Combined slash of 270, 342, 451. He had 13 homers, had 40 extra base hits, and he stole 25 bases. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to light up anything. It's not going to pop off the charts, but it was really good. The underlying data is where I look, and Dylan Cruz stands out. He had an average EV north of 90 miles an hour, which is good, and he had an average exit velocity of 106, which is plus power. That'll absolutely play. Contact skills, really good. 76% overall, 87% end zone. I mean, those held. All the data held into his major league sample, which I think is notable. You look at the contact and exit velocity, I'm pretty excited to see what he did. Sure, he chased a little bit more in the majors, but I think you look at a player this hype making his pro debut, and naturally you're going to see some more chase. Like, guys are pressing, trying to make things happen a bit, and I think that's exactly what happened with Dylan Cruz. Sprint speed's good. He stole bags at high clip. People said, well, he didn't steal at LSU. Guys, those LSU teams he was on were the best in the country. He didn't need to steal to manufacture runs. They didn't want him to steal to risk injury. Now he's got the green light. I mentioned 25 in the minors on five attempts. He stole 12. Or sorry, he was caught five times, not five attempts. 25 of 30, so he was caught five times. In the majors, 12 steals on 15 attempts, caught just three times. Dylan Cruz is going to run. He's going to hit for power. And guys, I'm kind of heated being a little more patient with these guys initially. Dylan Cruz might steal 30 bags in 2025. That's a realistic possibility. He could do that while hitting 15 to 18 home runs. That sounds like a pretty heavy front runner for NL Rookie of the Year, if you're asking me. So, kind of average does it come with? I'd certainly expect much higher than the 218 he hit in the majors last year, just given his contact rates, how good they've been, given the batted ball distribution. Cruz is going to run higher BABIPs. He had a 253 BABIP in the majors. Is just naturally going to run higher. So Dylan Cruz is kind of an early favorite for me for NL Rookie of the Year, and would not be shocked if he were, you know, kind of a runaway with it. Matt Shaw is going to contend. There's several guys that are going to contend. Roki Sasaki, if he throws enough. But I like Dylan Cruz's opportunity a lot. Let's talk about Max Clark with the Detroit Tigers. I mean, when you look at a five-tool player, Clark comes to mind. He does everything extremely well. He's a 70 runner. He plays excellent center field defense. He's got a great hit tool. The question is the power. Will Max Clark get to enough power? His frame's a little smaller. He's kind of physically maxed out. But again, we were looking at a 19-year-old last year. And a 19-year-old that had some major success from single A to high A. You know, the contact rates, as I mentioned, was a 79% overall and a 90% end zone. Those are impressive marks, even at the lower levels. You factor in a 22% chase rate. All right, yeah, we're really cooking now. Clark showed a really good combo of contact and approach, which you love to see. Yeah, I mean, you look at the exit velocities, 86-mile-an-hour average EV and a 102.90. It leaves a little bit to be desired of Max Clark, just being honest. But he was young at 19. We're talking about somebody that spent the offseason at Driveline doing training with bat speed. And if that ticks up, then all of a sudden the power probably ticks up with it. I think Clark has all the traits you want to see. He's a plus, probably 70 grade runner, as I mentioned. He's going to steal bases. He stole 29 last year. The numbers, surface numbers were good too. 279, 372, 421 slash overall between both low A and high A. And he had 36 extra base hits with 9 home runs. Clark brings a lot to like to the table here. You know, I think that if he winds up being a 18 to 20 home run bat, then for fantasy purposes, he's going to be a major asset. He's an impressive athlete. He eats, sleeps, and breathes baseball. He's one of the hardest workers in the game. I think the results will reflect that. You know, Clark's going to start most likely in high A. Would it be crazy to start him in double A? I don't think so. Maybe they do it. We shall see there. But I'm curious to see what the exit velocities look like for Clark out of the gate. I'll be watching that very, very closely. Let's talk a couple Twins prospects. Let's talk Emmanuel Rodriguez and Walker Jenkins. Both have immense talent. I think both could be number one prospects in the game. So Emmanuel Rodriguez, I mean, when you dream of upside, like, he's it. Like, Emmanuel Rodriguez is him. It's one of the best tool sets in the minors, in my opinion. You know, injuries have kind of hampered him. He's not been on the field all that often. At the end of the day, like, that's hurt him. He struggled to actually just put together a full season. But the talent level was there. You look, and 2023 was his closest. He had 455 plate appearances, but he still struggled with injury. 2024, it was just 209 plate appearances. But he did reach AAA, which was a good sign. And I think this could be the year where he's in the majors pretty quickly. I would not be shocked. He'll turn 22 at the end of February. He doesn't have to be, he's actually on the Rule 5, or on the 40-man, excuse me. So that's an encouraging sign. So already being on the 40-man roster, I have a hard time thinking they waste a lot of bullets here with Imrod, especially given his injury history. So you look at what he did, even in the small sample, he slashed 280, 459, 567. He had 9 home runs, 25 extra base hits in 47 games. The power's elite, like 110 mile an hour, 9th percentile exit velocity. That's at the top of all hitters in baseball, not just the minors. 91 mile an hour average EV, that'll absolutely play. You know, he starts with the bat on his shoulder. It's interesting. He lifts, he uses a leg kick for timing mechanism. It's a very strong lower half with a lot of torque in that body. Very impressive bat speeds. He puts the ball on ideal angles often. Most of his hard hit balls are in the air. I mean, it's 30 home run power pretty easily with Emmanuel Rodriguez. He's passive. He swung at 31% of pitches that he saw. It's like the lowest swing rate in baseball next to Chase Mydroth, if I'm not mistaken. I think Mydroth was 30. It's one of the lowest swing rates. Here's the interesting thing. It's an impressive eye. I mean, it was like a 9-10% chase rate. So that shows that he just knows the zone exceptionally well. I mean, at the end of the day, Imrod swings enough on pitches in the zone, especially the heart of the zone, to make this profile work. The biggest question in the profile is contact. I mean, it was a, like, you look in the last 3 years, Imrod's had a contact rate below 70%. So part of that issue, in my opinion, is that he works too deep into counts, and then he's in pitcher's counts with 2 strikes, and he's just not getting good pitches to hit. I also think swinging earlier in the counts could work out better for Emmanuel Rodriguez. You know, but at the end of the day, he's going to run elite OBPs. We've seen that his entire career. He's got some speed as well. I mean, he stole 9 bases last year. All were in the first 3 weeks of the year. He had a hand injury, which I think prevented him from stealing. But I think he's going to run. Like, in 2023, we saw him steal 20 bases. Do I think that he's like an elite runner or stolen base threat long term? No, but do I think 10 to 15 stolen bases will be in the cards? Absolutely. This is a really, really impressive profile with tools for days. Emmanuel Rodriguez has to stay healthy, but the Twins have something here, as do they with Walker Jenkins. Walker Jenkins is fascinating. It's like this offseason's kind of been a war between like how people feel about Jenkins. Some absolutely hate him. They say he gets more credit for doing nothing. And other outlets say that he could be the top prospect in baseball in 2025. I lean more on the top prospect in baseball. I mean, honestly, I've seen Jenkins several times now. Saw him in spring training last year before he got hurt. He missed a little bit of time in the early. And then I saw him in the Florida State League in July. Jenkins is impressive, guys. It tells you everything you need to know that the Twins were comfortable enough to send a 19-year-old to AA last year. He did spend most of the year in single A, but he got the bump, and honestly, he just kept getting better. The exit velocities just kept getting better. You have to factor in the injuries here. I mean, he had a quad and a hamstring injury. That's going to limit you. So naturally, like, I think that affected him early. He returned to action towards the end of May. So he went back to the complex the end of May. Really, it was early June before he went back to full season ball. That's important to note that those things hampered him. You look at the results, and they steadily improved. Everybody looks at the Florida State League exit velocities because they're public, and so rightfully so, and they say Jenkins' exit velocities were terrible. Okay, yeah, I understand that. Like, he was playing with a hamstring and a quad injury and recovering from those. It takes time to get power back. But he goes to high A. He split actually most of the year between single A and high A. He had 151 plate appearances in single A, 152 in high A. And then he ends the year having, I think, a week in double A, 28 plate appearances. The exit velocities improved when he went to high A. They improved when he went to double A. We saw his hardest hit balls after he left the Florida State League. Actually, he broke his max EV in the Florida State League multiple times after moving up. And yes, I mean, you still factor it all in. The 9th percentile EV was below MLB average. Okay, he was 19 coming off an injury, a major injury that affects your ability to lift and get to power. So that's worth noting. But the contact skills here are elite. They're very elite. 84% overall contact, 90% end zone. Those are very, very good. We're talking about a very good eye at the plate as well. We're talking about a pretty good athlete. Is that he runs well for his size. I mean, we're talking about somebody that's 6'3", 210. Jenkins runs really well. And he was effective on the base pass. He stole 17 bases on 20 attempts, and he stole 9 times over the final several weeks, which tells me he was fully healthy to end the year. He got back to feeling healthy, and guess what? The results were there. He absolutely mashed in high A. You can say what you want about his double A numbers. It was a week. It was 28 plate appearances. Who cares? I mean, it's a tough environment to go to as a 19-year-old. Jenkins will turn 20 not long, next week, actually, after I'm recording this. So later February, he'll turn 20 years old. Man, I'll tell you what. Jenkins, what I saw from him when I've seen him is impressive. I'm talking about a player not only on the field, but off the field. Very few hitters do what Jenkins does. You may think like, well, why not? But here's what I saw from Jenkins when I saw him. I'm looking at a hitter that every time after each at bat, he immediately grabs the iPad in the dugout. He's literally looking through everything. He's reading through. He's watching those pitches. He's looking what he did and how he can improve. Also, something that I never see, especially with prospects, after at bats, like I think there was a bat where he grounded out. That's all. And he literally, before, I forgot even who it was in the on deck circle, but he pulled him real quick. He was like, he was talking through the pitch progression with him. He talks to the hitter that would have been in the hole when he was at bat. He literally spent like 3 minutes with that hitter just walking through like what to look for. That's a sign of a good leader, in my opinion. I like the way Jenkins went about his business. I like the way that he is just a gamer. There's things that are just sometimes just built different about a player that you can't really coach. And I think that Jenkins has some of those traits. So I will put the caveat. If the exit velocities don't improve in 2025, then okay. All of a sudden we're like, okay, maybe there's reason to have some questions. But at the end of the day, like, I'm not that worried, because when you look at the exit velocities, people are like throwing these pretty bad like power numbers on him. Like, oh, like this was like a 40 grade power. His ninth percentile EV was still over 2.5 miles an hour above his average for his age. And he's 6'3", 210. And he's got bat speed. And he's not selling out for power. If you watch him, it's just put the bat on the ball kind of approach. If you don't think this guy's going to get to more power, I think it's crazy, in my opinion. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll eat it. But I think Jenkins is going to get to more power for sure. Let's switch over to an interesting kind of player. I talked about Dalton rushing in the catcher episode. So you can go back and check that out. But rushing is playing outfield. Does he make the transition there full time? I don't believe so. Rushing is good behind the plate. He's improved substantially as a catcher. They've got Will Smith locked up. I think rushing could spell him a couple days a week. Will Smith is over 30 now. So catchers tend to decline and need more days off. And I think that could be beneficial to both parties and for fantasy managers, because if rushing's catching 2 days a week and playing outfield the rest, that's great. Where does he find his plate appearances in 2025? That's the answer. I wish we had an answer to it. I have no idea. And I'm scared that he's going to spend a lot of the year in AAA. Maybe he's traded. Maybe he is not. Let's talk two more names before we get out of here. Finish the top 10 outfield prospects. Zaire Hope of the Dodgers. Hope is special. He was part of the package for Michael Busch that went over with Jackson Ferris from the Cubs to the Dodgers. I mean, this could be a stud player. He's smaller. He's 5'10", 183. He's physically maxed out. But listen, he doesn't need to add power to that frame at all. He needs to add zero exit velocities. He put up a 108 mile an hour 90th percentile EV. Just stupid kind of power there. For a 19-year-old, I mean, if he adds none, no exit velocity, then he's fine. Because he was 19 doing that. He had a 470-foot home run in the AFL. I understand the ball travels significantly further there. Minus 20 feet, 450. Guess what? He hit a 450 home run in the regular season. Didn't matter. He hit a ball foul when I was in attendance that it was like hooking foul. There was no distance on it, obviously, because it was a foul ball. But, man, I bet that ball went every bit of 470. He smoked it. It was insane. The power's off the charts. He hits the ball in the air often. It was a 56% air rate, 50% pull rate. Those are good recipes for success. On top of that, really good contact. 87% contact in the zone, 76% overall. So it was a pretty big dip, though, on overall contact. There are some struggles with breaking balls out of the zone. Now, the chase rate of 17% for Zaire Hope is really good, so that is worth noting that he ran really low chase rates. But on the flip side of that, I'm a little bit concerned about his breaking ball recognition. Obviously, he picked him up, but the swing and miss on him that I saw in person against some not-so-good breaking balls in the AFL did give me some pause. I love Hope. I love the potential. I love the athlete. He's probably going to play a corner spot, so there's going to be pressure on the bat. And in the day, I still think this is a top-flight outfield prospect. The Dodgers did it again, folks. They scout better than anybody. They have more scouts than anybody. They develop well. Say what you want to. The Dodgers just do it better. And they found Zaire Hope, who was a late-round pick, if I'm not mistaken, a 13th rounder. I don't have it in front of me, but I will pull it up. I think he was definitely post-10. He was 11th-round pick, so excuse me, but still. One, the Cubs scouting's really good. They found this guy in North Carolina. Their area scout there is exceptional. He's found some great guys. So, forgot the name. Apologies, but kudos to him. And then the Dodgers were like, hey, we believe this guy's a stud. And they traded for him. So, let's talk Chase DeLauder, and we'll get out of here. DeLauder, unfortunately, has bad feet. He cannot stop with his feet injuries, and that hurts him. It does. Successful career with James Madison, selected 16th overall in 2022. I mean, when he's been on the field, he's been really good. The ultimate problem is he hasn't been on the field. They say your best trait is availability. He hadn't been available. 242 plate appearances in 2023, 164 in 2024. Here's my thing about DeLauder. If DeLauder is healthy all spring, he performs, I don't think Cleveland's wasting his bullets in the minors. I get it. He's not on the 40-man roster yet. He's Rule 5 eligible after this year. He's coming up at some point in 2025. Just the nature of it. I have a hard time thinking they waste too many reps in the minors. Maybe they bring him up in the first couple of weeks. If he's get him up to speed in AAA the first week or two, they bring him up within the date where he can still be eligible to, or they can get a PPI pick for him winning Rookie of the Year. This talent is really good, and I don't think Cleveland's going to waste it. I know that's not the Guardians' way. I get that. I've been told that over. The Guardians don't do this. Well, guess what? They're going to do it with Juan Brito out of the gate. I think they're going to do it with Chase DeLauder out of the gate if he's healthy. The swing's funky. You look at it, everybody's like, the swing sucks. Actually, his swing path's pretty dang good. It's just a short follow-through. At the end of the day, who cares? It hasn't affected his ability to make contact. It hasn't affected his exit velocities at all. I don't care how short his follow-through is. Barrel control's elite. He gets natural loft. That's all that matters. I mean, the underlying data is so good. He ran a zone contact rate of 89% last year, overall contact rate of 87%. That's plus or better contact skills. 21% chase rate. Guess what? Plus or better plate discipline. I think he's still an above average runner, even for that bigger frame. He's 6'3", 235. Still an above average runner that can steal bases. And the power is certainly plus. I really believe in that power. With DeLauder, I mean, it just shows up. I mean, you look and he's consistently put up really good exit velocities. It was down a tick in 2024, but it was a small sample. His ninth was 104.5, so a little below what it was in previous years, but still really, really good. I think Chase DeLauder breaks camp with the Guardians. Would not be shocked at all. So that's going to do it. The top 10 outfield prospects in baseball. Thank you for tuning in. I am ready for spring training. I'm sitting here looking out the window at cold rain. We had an 80-degree day in South Carolina on Sunday. I'm recording this on Tuesday. It is raining and 40 degrees is the high today. Welcome to South Carolina, baby. Let's get to spring training in warmer weather. We are almost there. We will talk to you tomorrow. But until then, everyone have a great day.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.